everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. My name is Charles Gonzalez. Thanks so much for listening to my podcast. I hope you're well today. I pray and hope that all is well with you. So, I enjoy listening to good music. Don't you? Music is a big part of my life, and I'm sure music plays some kind of role in your life. Some of you who know me know that I play the bass guitar. I've been playing for about 20 plus years or so, and I love playing the bass guitar. And I was thinking about music today. You know, music is a big part of our culture, right? Where would the world be without music? I think we can agree that music can be addictive. I mean, just reflecting back in my life over the years, I was addicted to music. I was addicted to classic rock, grunge rock, heavy metal, progressive metal. And some of the bands that I used to listen to were bands like Metallica, Anthrax, Pantera, Soundgarden, White Zombie, Tool, Nine Inch Nails, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, Dream Theater, Henry Rollins Band, Black Sabbath, Rush, Led Zeppelin, DMX. Now, I'm not trying to be braggadocious or anything like that, but I was in my 20s, and, you know, late 20s and early 30s, I was listening to music that was detrimental to my soul and my thoughts and my walk with God. You know? I mean, I sing church, you know, sing church songs on Sunday. You know, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'll be singing, I'll fly away, oh Gloria. Fly away when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. But on Monday, going to school or going to work, I'd sing a song from Metallica or Pantera. I would fill my mind with secular music, terrible music. And mind you, I was in church. I was raised on Pentecostal pews. But my secret sin was secular music. I mean, not just rock, but really all genres of music. But I thank the Lord because He delivered me from listening to that kind of music. Music that doesn't glorify Him. That kind of music is terrible. You know, and I got to thinking today that music has the ability to make you and me feel almost every kind of emotion, both good and evil emotions. So in this episode, I want to talk about music, worship, and you. I want to talk about what it means to us and what it means with our regard to our worship and our walk with God. And I want to briefly talk about the biblical origins of music and some other things. So, I mean, there's a spiritual side of music. Wouldn't you agree? Amen. And we must be on guard to what we listen to. I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be rock and metal music, pop music, country music, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and today. And even some Christian music can be detrimental to your soul. Amen. And music is one of my favorite topics to discuss. I love talking about all genres of music. So before I delve into the topic of music, I want to read some scripture and read some quotes by several people describing the spiritual aspect of music. So first, I'm going to read scripture. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Another scripture. Psalm chapter 59, verses 16 and 17. I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Amen. Here's another quote from Dr. Jeremy Painter. He says, quote, humankind always dreamed of flying, but not created with wings. We learned to sing instead. Our strongest emotions find truest expressions in music. What we believe with conviction, we sing about. Music is one of the most effective ways to transmit one's teachings from one generation to another. Music can make us larger, better versions of ourselves. One of the best ways to teach a concept is to nest it in a song. Close quote. And that's from Brother Jeremy Painter out of his book called The Handbook on the Psalms and Wisdom Literature. Excellent book, by the way. So here are some other quotes that are a little bit more disturbing, I guess you can say. This one's by Carlos Santana, and this is out of the 1999 Rolling Stone magazine. He had an interview in the summer of 1999. He had an interview about his personal demon. And this interview was referencing his critically acclaimed album called Supernatural. And this quote from Carlos Santana is rather disturbing. So listen to this. Quote, I know it sounds new age, but in my meditation, this entity, which is called Metatron, he said to me, we want to hook you back to the radio airwave frequency. We want you to reach junior high schools, and universities. Once you reach them, because we are going to connect you with the best artists of the day. Then we want you to present them a new menu. Let them know that they are themselves multidimensional spirits with enormous possibilities and opportunities. We want you to present them with a new form of existence that transcends religion, politics, or the modus operandi of education today. Close quote. You know, I remember when that album came out. It was a commercial monster. It was a hit. It was extremely successful. I mean, the number one hit, the song called Smooth, it was a collaboration with Rob Thomas. Man, that was a popular song. And I remember, I mean, you couldn't go anywhere with that song, without that song. And man, it was being sung everywhere. Here's another quote about music. Again, there is a spiritual aspect to music. This one's from Danny Carey, and he's a drummer from the band Tool. So on the Tool website, it says this about the drummer. Quote, Danny Carey has laid claim to various drumming techniques that use sacred geometric figures, such as the unicursal hexagram. The final product is very recognizable, fluent drumming, although to him it is much more. Danny uses drumming as a ritual similar to occultic rituals, with purposes varying from spiritual exploration to a gateway which summons a demon he has contained that delivers short parables within a book called The Book of Lies. Close quote. And you don't mean to tell me that music matters? What we listen to matters? Here's another quote from Stephen Davis. He wrote a biography called The Hammer of the Gods. And it's a Led Zeppelin biography, and it was published in 1985. Listen to this quote. Quote, Jimmy Page and Robert Plant claim some of Zeppelin's songs came via occultic automatic handwriting, including their popular song Stairway to Heaven. Robert described the automatic nature of the lyric as this, quote, I was just sitting there with Pagey in front of a fire at Headley Grange. Pagey had written the chords and played them for me. I was holding a paper and pencil, and for some reason I was in a very bad mood. Then all of a sudden, my hand was writing out words. There's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. I just sat there and looked at the words, and then I almost leaped out of my seat. Robert Plant often remarked that he could feel his pen being pushed by some higher authority. Man. Here's another quote by Brother Anthony Mangan out of Brother Gary Erickson's book called Pentecostal Worship, which is a fantastic book on Pentecostal worship. I highly recommend it. Listen to this quote by Brother Anthony Mangan. Quote, those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Worship in spirit alone is not enough. This fact was graphically illustrated when judgment fell in the midst of worship as David improperly transported the ark. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, God told the people, because you have not hearkened unto my words nor to my law, your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Worship in truth alone is not enough. Of the people of God who had all the rituals and forms correct, God said, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me. It is imperative that we learn what constitutes acceptable and unacceptable worship. Our purpose on earth is to worship. Our purpose in heaven will be to worship. He is thy God. He is thy Lord. And worship thou him. Close quote. Amen, Brother Anthony Mangan. Amen. Here's another quote by author Mark Batterson. I'm sure you've heard of him. He says this, quote, 60% of Americans who don't attend church get their theology from movies and music. For better or worse, musicians and movie makers are the chief theologians in our culture, proven by the fact that Americans know more about Homer Simpson, Harry Potter, and the latest number one song than they do about current news, world leaders, and classic literature. Close quote. I agree with Mark Batterson. That's true. That's true. So I want to focus. Let's focus on music, on the truth of music. There is remarkable power in music. Music is a very impactful form of communication that may either lift your emotions up or bring them down. Music can forge a bond of unity among people. Right? Nothing brings a group together quite like music. Music is capable of telling a story that resonates with a person's current mood and circumstance. Many individuals use music as a mood regulator. It's therapy to their soul. And some people can't start their day without music pumping and priming, right? And many people also use music to unwind from their busy day. Music is very impactful. And a multitude of music genres affect many people. While music, I believe, is one of the most beautiful things in the world, the topic of music and worship must be examined and considered through a biblical perspective in order to find its proper place in our worship unto God, as well as its position in our daily lifestyle. God put some parameters when it comes to music. He put some parameters in our lives. He put some parameters in his word when it comes to music. We need to guard and listen, pay attention to what we listen to. Amen. Because Jesus Christ is the one true and living God, and he alone is worthy of our worship, and he is worthy of all the praise. Amen. So I want to focus on some scriptures. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Amen. Music can be a form of idolatry. Here's another scripture. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's out of the New King James Version translation. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Here's another one. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy might. Jesus Christ is worthy of all the praise and worship. He alone is worthy. Psalm 149 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praises in the congregation of saints. Psalm 71, 24. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. I'm going to sing praises unto the Lord all the day long. Psalm 150 verses 1 through 6. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the string instruments and organs. Praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And when we praise the Lord, when we sing unto the Lord, when we listen to songs that glorify Jesus Christ, Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. John chapter 4 and verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Amen. That's the word of God declaring that we need to praise our one true King. Why? Well, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I thank God. I worship him. I praise him. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty God. Praise God. Music is everywhere. We live in a world immersed in music. There's all sorts of music. There are countless genres of music. As a result of our fast-paced culture, advancement in technology has changed the way music thrives. Amen. I mean, there's competition among music streaming services. There's a lot of companies that roll out new features and new ways to fight for their customer base, for the customer's attention. So I read this article in Rolling Stone magazine. It says that Spotify and Apple Music lead the market for music streaming supremacy. The music industry continues, I believe, to this day, even through this pandemic. I think they're still breaking in billions and billions of dollars every year worldwide. So I read this stat. It says in 2018, total revenues increased to 10%, earning $4.6 billion, with streaming making up 3/4 of that revenue. In fact, there's no indication of the music industry ever slowing down or that kind of revenue slowing down. I mean, you know, Apple Music and there's Spotify and there's all sorts of other companies rolling out new ways to get your attention to listen to this music. I mean, what does it say about our world? What does it say about you? So what is the biblical origin of music? What's its place in worship? And how do we put it, a practical application for daily living? I mean, what makes music lovers create their own favorite playlist? What makes music a driving force in life? I believe identity is often found in music. For example, identity begins with genres of music, right? Like R&B, rock, metal, country, classical, hip-hop, religious, pop and jazz. If you identify with that, with those genres of music, you'll find a sense of identity, right? I mean, music conjures up unique emotions about where you were the first when you first heard a particular song, or when you hear a song, it brings to mind a specific situation in the past or whatever. So music conjures up unique emotions. You know, clothing and attitudes are sometimes coupled with music to create personalities or identities. Cultural identities, both past and present, are affected by music. In other words, music is cosmopolitan. Music reflects society's search for meaning and transcendence. Music is universal. It's like self-expression. To some individuals, music creates an avenue to work out their spirituality. And music is a coping mechanism to improve mental health. Music introduces an individual through self-expression to a new community of people. I mean, music is important. I did a survey. I surveyed 100 people between two social media platforms, Facebook and Twitter. So in this survey, the average importance on a scale from 1 to 10 of music, is music important to you? On a scale of 1 to 10, it was 8.9. That's significant. Music is important to people. Amen. I believe that. So we must be extremely cautious of what we listen to. The most important things that we should listen to alongside biblically sound music, one of the most important things we should listen to is the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. That's important. That's you know, without question, we should listen to sound biblical teaching and preaching from the Word of God. But just in case you listen to music to get a sense of identity and spirituality or something of that nature, please make sure it glorifies God. Amen. And with that, I'll end it here. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time. And I'll continue with part two with music worshiping you. So until next time, be blessed and stay healthy.